up on you.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
Hey, I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the entire tri-state area, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I ask that you contact family and friends, let them know we're here. Our audience continues to grow, and I'm really pleased that our internet connection and all the things that we do, Henry sends out to various people each week when he's finished with the broadcast. We do our best to really go after the goodness of what we're trying to do on this broadcast. And helping us along are three great people. Number one, Larkin Conley. And I'm not doing any imitations. You know who I was imitating. Today I'm on my good behavior. No, better not. Larkin Conley, who is the great business advocate and also had been part of SCORE and a great businessman for a long time. He constantly assists us on our broadcast, and people do like what you have to say, Larkin. And, it makes people think. We're trying to talk about common sense issues. Also, we have Rich Loges, who is the principal of RJL Technology. I mean, he has his point of view, which is very good. And I have to tell you that Jason Kilmeyer enjoyed the broadcast and received good reaction from the broadcast 2 weeks ago that he is going to join us again, I think, the second Wednesday of January 2022. 2022, that might be a good year. We may have a lucky number there. And, of course, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And my God, what this man hasn't done, what he hasn't been through. And now with this pandemic, it's been a real eye-opener. These three people and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, as we have our last broadcast of 2021, need to be given some credit. On this Wednesday, December the 29th, we're going to hear Larkin's holiday special list, his wish list for 2022. Remember, Larkin, that's a good year. 2022. That's three twos and a zero. So we either have to be 222 or zero in this process. And it's very good to see that so many of the people in local communities, and I want to take this opportunity to thank about 21 broadcasters who take my commentary every week and broadcast it during their public service time, and some of the local people here, Dennis Ostapovich and others, read the commentary, and they also give their own, little statements about it. This is what it's all about. We're trying to educate people. What I don't understand is why there are not more national media people doing that. I'd like to see in the new year more of the stores and the internet sites offering no less than 50% of everything that they sell made and assembled and distributed by American workers. Everybody will say, oh, that's really going to be hard to come by, Michael. Well, my question is, how did we get to this point in 35 years? 35 years ago, there was a tremendous amount of products made here in this country. In fact, made in the state of Pennsylvania, made in the city of Philadelphia, made in New Jersey. Those places have all moved over. All of their hierarchy is now relocated in some other country, and they tell us what they're going to give us and what they're not going to give us. Unfortunately, some leaders in America feel that it's not necessary that we, get back to some level of manufacturing. We're watching our great company here, our companies here in the United States and our great country have its jobs and job skills all shipped around the world while our people are unemployed in many cases, and they're saying, oh, there's so many job openings and all that's true. But when this thing gets back to normal, this is going to be very noticeable. And growing poverty in America, that's something that I can't agree with. And no matter what a particular individual, you know who I mean, is trying to do, it's not going to sound, you know, normal to me to just keep letting people in our country and have nothing as a benefit to us, we the taxpayers. Now, it would be good also to have America's national as well as state level elected leaders join our cause. We can't join their cause because they don't have one, but join our cause and start talking more about restoring jobs and job skills right here in the United States, so that our fellow Americans, our taxpayers in America, our fellow Americans can have jobs, support themselves and their families, pay their living expenses, and enjoy life. Enjoy life. If you're on any kind of program, especially if you're able-bodied, you can't have an excuse not to have a job and not to be able to try to support yourself. It's demoralizing. It takes the life out of your life by not being able to support yourself. And for months, America's businesses have been concerned about millions of those shipping containers from foreign countries being delayed at the United States ports all over. They're unavailable to get to our stores. To me, that's very interesting, because I have yet, and I kept quiet about it, I have not yet heard concerns from business owners here in the United States that they would like to focus on having those type of shipments from companies right here in our country. We used to do various types of interstate commerce. Today, we don't do that. Today, everything is, we have to get it at the cheapest price and sell it to the customer at the highest price possible. Bad news. So as we end this year off, I think we have to start questioning some of the people. And I do have a problem with a lot of the national media. They do not really represent the American people. When I turn on the evening news, I'm really disappointed very often, because it's all nonsense. There's nobody educating another person as to what they can do to be a great American, what they can do to bring their family, educate their boys and girls in the family to do great things. There's none of that there. It's all crime and stabbings and, you know, robberies and everything else. Is that what America has reduced itself, or is that a tactic to take our minds away from the real issues at hand? We don't have manufacturing in this country. We're bringing everything in from other countries. So we have to sort of shake the water so that nobody ever sees smooth sailing. Store owners and managers, as I go around, they tell me, in order for us to stay in business, Michael — some of them don't know my name, they just say, in order for us to stay in business, sir, we can't focus on American made. It's up to the merchandisers that supply our stores to offer whatever products they have. If they don't have them, they can't offer them. Larkin will tell you very clearly, if they don't have them, they can't offer them. And that's a fact. But now that more customers are supporting American made, merchandisers are starting to see, very interesting. Some people are buying gift cards and doing things like that. Instead of picking up items, they figure, let my family or friends go out and get the merchandise that they choose. They don't want to be even the person to buy something foreign and give it to somebody. They'd rather give them a gift card and a card, and you do as you choose. So it's been very interesting. This whole year has been very interesting, and I want to say thank you to Larkin, Rich, and Mark Andel. And as you know, my last thought of the day is, in the 1970s, most of the foreign countries that are now shipping products to the great United States of America were not in the business of manufacturing. Let me say that again. In the mid-1970s, when the bicentennial of America took place in 1976, we went to the 200-year, 1976, the foreign countries were not even on the list of bringing stuff here. We took stuff around the world from our ports, but there was very little coming in from these foreign countries. It was mainly these little toys and things like that. America's corporations really worked hard and made foreign countries the place for them to make a profit while America's going into debt. Take one look at the debt clock on the front page of American Workers Radio, and the whole picture comes to you, and you know how far more in debt can we go. How about looking out for the benefit of American workers in the country where we live? And with that, I want to turn to Mark Andel. Mark, I gave a few thoughts today, and I want to know what your thoughts are on this last Wednesday of 2021.
Yes, Mike, and first, hope your Christmas went well, and Happy New Year's to you and Larkin and Henry and Rich, and I know Curtis is looking down from upstairs, right? And great time of year. You hit it on the head. We've been through a lot these last 2 years. Have been very, very challenging. We're going on 23 months with the pandemic and a new world, a different world. Mike, I'd like to say with Made in America and the movement, very strong through the fourth quarter, very, very strong. It didn't offset our losses with General Welding, with our military work, our oil minings. Very challenging year when I look back at it. My other show, we just recorded the opening show for this Saturday, and I want to be positive this year. I think we've built and developed a negative culture in general talk from small people to all people and in our companies and in the news. I tell my people we got to watch what they're selling. When you turn the news, they're selling something. What's first? What are they trying to sell? Good, bad, or ugly? But we got to watch what we're selling also ourselves and how we're talking. Because if we constantly, my parents are 84, 85, if they're constantly watching the news or bad and talking about health and they're getting older and, watching things that are negative, it's just not good for the human body. So I'm big this year, Mike. We've got to try to stay positive, talk positive, try to unite, because it has to happen if we're going to make differences and answer challenges. The Made in America movement, I'm telling people to go out and do your part. I thank them for what they've done already. Take a look at what they're buying when they pick it up. If it says Made in China, put it back down. If there's a choice, buy Made in America. If you don't need it, don't buy it. Mike, there's a lot going on. Our team did great. We had that 1,000-mile-an-hour run right up to last Friday with Christmas Eve. We were open. And, now you get slower times, and now's the battle. You've got a 2-year-plus-old pandemic. You've got the rapid inflation that's high and strong and not moving like in our steel industry ourselves. Again, we went from 50 cents a pound to $1.50-plus for mild steel. So we got rapid inflation, product shortage that's heavily affected my General Welding side. And then you've got the worker shortage. And we were light on skilled trades workers before the pandemic, but now we need even more. But, I called some younger kids in school today that, I want to give them tours. There's always something positive to do, Mike. We've got to look at that positive side, and say, what can we do? We've got a lot of challenges coming up. I told people, buckle up. 2022, it's real. You don't have to watch the news. You're going to have to look around and listen to friends and family what's going on until we can trust that news again and make sure they're on our side. So, Mike, that's my 2 cents. Again, Happy New Year's. I get excited with New Year's. It's a restart. We battled a heck of a fight this year. I'm proud of my family and team in business. But health is everything, Mike. We've got some different people going different things always when you got 60, 70 employees. So it just reminds me every day how important health is. And, I want to thank you for your show and all you do in our board because it makes a difference. We can never quit, Mike.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, Mark, you are so right. There are so many people out there trying to discourage this message. And I hate to tell you, it's a lot of big business people. Oh, we don't want to pay attention to that. It's not a reality. We are just now taking everything from China and Vietnam and all. Ridiculous. It's totally stupid to me.
And, Mike, I want to add something. You know, I heard there are hiding ships out at sea, so you can't see them. So, you can't see them with your own eyes. So, I even talked to a guy that owns this one radio station. You know, they want that to be fixed. But, again, like you said, they're never talking about the real disconnect. We've got to build and make more things in this country, give people a purpose, rebuild their American dream, rebuild the middle class. The blue-collar worker is alive and well. But they hide the ships. They hide. They show a picture of whatever they want to sell us. And it's terrible if they're moving ships out so you can't see them. You can't see the problem no more. So that went away, Mike. Oh, we got to stop doing that as a country.
No, we are. We're fooling our people. And in the process of fooling our people, we're destroying our people's future. That's very
smoke screens are no good.
Oh, no, no good at all. No, no. And, you know, I like to go out and talk with the various business people. And some of them in the stores already got to know me a little bit. So they take me around and they show me a lot of the new stuff that's coming in from various states, products made right here in the United States of America. And they tell me, you know, I want you to know that 70 to 80% of the products available in this store are now foreign made. We just lost all those manufacturers, all those distributors are all gone. Less than 20% of what we have is made here in this country. How can you have that? They're talking about we don't have enough workers. We can't make cell phones in America. Everything has to be made in China. We can't do computers. We can't do this. Why not?
Somehow we forget things. The pandemic woke up the country and world. The world was shut off. It woke
up
the country. And we've got to continue that thought. People were telling me, Mark, why do we build our PPP products? Why do we build our safety products? Why do we build our defense products? Why do we make our drugs overseas? Why does China own every component to the drug business and pharmaceutical business? But we can't forget that thought because they didn't put it on TV. We have to be smart enough as human beings, and we the people have to realize that can't go away. You can't just forget about that. You've got to continue to go out and do your part as businesses get more made in America, you know, support skilled trades, allow our children to work in skilled trades. Again, parents have to change with our education system. So I hope it just doesn't go away as hopefully things get better with the pandemic, Mike.
You know, you're talking about getting the kids and all more involved. Everybody's been talking about, Michael, talk about the youth. They said that the schools do not have the people to teach a lot of the trades. I said, well, okay, that's understandable because we let it go off the face of the earth in most school districts. But how about we pull people out of industries and bring them back into the school districts and pay them? And they say, oh, they would want a lot of money. I said, well, if they get a lot of money, they would be doing a lot of money jobs. You see, we have people running this country, and it's not, you know, there's just too much of this nonsense going on. And there are some people who are very pushy at the front and doing most of the talking.
Mike,
but the people at the person at the top, I have real concerns with. Yes.
Yes, Mike, I got one more thing to add with the, you know, I love to work with the kids. I'm on six boards pushing skilled trades. You got the PTEC program, Dream It, Do It. You know, we believe in skilled trades and trying to give these kids a purpose. But I got to say, they can't make it harder for me, a business owner, to get these kids on board, get them into a hands-on training through their school apprenticeship program because of the insurances. Now they won't even let us get working papers and allow them. Really, they can't even push a broom. You know, they can't run a grinder. They can't work a wrench. They can watch. So they couldn't make this harder on me, but I'm a diehard. I don't quit. I've had one parent sue me. I'm still rock and rolling because I feel I impact some way, and I do it for the guy upstairs, right? But they couldn't make it harder, so we have to make it easier, and we have to allow them to try things. This insurance, this world's crazy right now, so we got to reduce regulation. We got to wake up, and we've got to open Common Sense University this year.
You know, Mark, what you just said reminds me of something that a great manufacturer in the city of Philadelphia told me. They said, Michael, manufacturers are offered no incentives from government or nothing, zero. It's everything. You're in business, you pay the profits, but everybody else can come to this country tariff-free, no aggravation, you know, and take over the people and take over our jobs, take over our profits, take over our futures. I'm concerned about the future of our youth. You know, all of us have young people in our families, children, grandchildren. They're going to have children and grandchildren. They have to have some future. If we don't speak up, you look at the national news media, please. You know, we have Yes.
I trained probably 100-plus students on my dime. I didn't want nothing back. I was in hopes to get a good, you know, loyal, believing, caring employee, yes, but a lot of them just got released into the world after we were done. So, you know, we're willing to invest ourselves to put into these children and students, but we've got to have a little help and make it easier, not stack up the insurances and the signatures and the responsibility, liability, and put it on us. They got to somehow find a way to make it easier for a student to be on an apprenticeship program.
I have a question for you, Mark. Has any level of government offered you any type of incentive to bring on some young people to work?
No, not recently, not in current days, years ago. There was an on-job training situation. But
right.
Yeah, not recently. They need to really, really put some energy into that.
That's right. They're putting money into bringing in people illegally to the country. I'm for immigration 100%. We all, every one of us on this broadcast, are children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of people who immigrated this to this country for a purpose, but we came at an invitation or with the approval of a government. Years ago, companies would send a letter to various countries and say, we need full aged working people, not children. We need eight working age people. And if they come with a family, that's fine. We'll set them up here. We need these workers. We have to have them long term in our system if we help sponsor them. Hey, we don't have that. We open the borders and they just come flocking in. We have no idea if these people are COVID, you know, problems or nothing. We have no idea. Just they get on buses and planes and get shipped to other states. And then the local officials in these other states say, I'm so proud that we took in 20,000 of these people. And what's to be proud of? How are they being supported? How are they going to have a job in the future? What type of job? What skills do they have? What can they be trained to do? If we're not training our people, how are we going to train these people? Mark, today I want to mention that we have a birthday boy with us on the phone who's always out there listening, giving advice. He's been part of SCORE. He's a great business advocate. Larkin, how was your birthday? How was your holiday? And what's new?
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I've heard from a handful of people about my birthday, and that's wonderful. Yeah, it was yesterday. I am 36, not 39.
I hear that music in the background. Doot, 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 doot.
Happy. Well, it was a wonderful birthday. I was given some wonderful cards and presents by my granddaughters, and It was wonderful, and I appreciate everybody at least acknowledging the day. I wish you wouldn't anymore, but
36 is a perfect age. No matter which way you look at it, 36 or 63, that's a good age. No matter how you look at it, Larkin, you're 36 in stature. And everything that you do, the way you carry yourself, you're 36.
I hope so.
Now, as a 36-year-old man, I want to hear, what would you like to hear happen to this great country of ours? What kind of a wish list do you have to share with us?
Well, you know, I worked on the wish list. I mentioned it last week. I had long lists. And I apologize for the entrepreneur in the background who is servicing my neighbor next door by mowing her lawn and trimming, and he's blowing all of the leaves onto my property right now. But I apologize for him. He shows up every week on Wednesday at 11 a.m. I'm trying to find the time to sneak out there and ask him if he can just switch two things around. I encourage him because he's obviously an entrepreneur, but whatever, you'll have to put up with the noise. It'll come and go, so listen carefully. I had this long list. I was writing and changing and trying to make it softer and more positive, I found it to be an impossible task. And a couple nights ago, I was lying in bed going, you know, how do I just turn this thing around to being positive? And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do this. How easy would it be for me, with all of this country's problems, to talk about supply chain, which is going to be so, everybody thinks it's kind of gone away. And Mark's 100% right. Rich and I were talking the other day, and we've got boats out there at 100 miles deep in the ocean, 100 miles away, floating in the water, so that when I fly in from, as I did the other day from New York City, I said to my wife, my Lord, there are not anywhere near as many boats out there. And I mentioned it at the airport, and he said, get on a little puddle jumper and fly out about 100 miles and tell me what you see. And he said they've just decided, I think the maritime vote was they're floating and bobbing in the water too closely together. So they need, and here comes my entrepreneur, again, blowing all the leaves onto my property, and I apologize for that, bobbing out there in the water. And our retailers, our commodity people, the people who in America keep on telling yourself, because you have to remember this, that stuff bobbing around out in the water isn't China's. It isn't the United States of America. It belongs to the people on shore that don't have inventory to sell right now, or have not been able to build back their inventory. So it's a very, very difficult situation, and it's going to be even more difficult in 2022 when they try to figure out what they have bobbing around in the water and, you know, what they need to order, and can we even get that in. It's going to be a very, very interesting 22. We say nothing about immigration. We don't even talk about it.
Disgraceful.
Nobody in D.C. even talks about it now. Mm-mm. They don't even say, hey, we've got an issue here that we have to address. They just keep on loading up buses and driving to Des Moines and saying to the mayor of Des Moines and the governor of Iowa, yeah, 22 new citizens, welcome, and they drive away. There's no introductory letters. There's nothing between D.C. and Des Moines happening. They just show up on a bus or in a plane, and they're laden with, what do you do with people like this? So the government dodges their responsibility. It's just a mess. Our debt and the deficit spending that we keep on trying to promote. Let's have a social package for $2 trillion. Hell, we're only $30 trillion in debt right now. And we think that we're going to buy our way out of all of this debt, and that the American dollar is going to continue to be the currency of the world. Mm-hmm. I've got news for you. We're down a very treacherous path by printing money and affecting the value of that money. The Ukraine, the fallout from Afghanistan, the fact that we can't even get them to talk about term limits. You listen to Nancy Pelosi, term limits probably needs to be considered by Congress. Well, when are you going to bring it up? Oh, it's not on my agenda this session, nor any other session is it going to be on their agenda, because it would kind of interrupt the beautiful life that they have. The education issues, the policing issues. I just decided I'm not going to address anyone, any of them. I did now, but rather than giving you remedies, I want to talk about something that Rich and I talked about the other day that I think, and funny enough, I'm sitting here giggling. Every time Mark comes on, he jumps the gun on me and brings up stuff. And he's 100% right. He couldn't possibly be more on target. We need to make 2022 the year of the entrepreneur. The table is set, and barring any overwhelming interruptions from COVID-19 and the way our totally inept government reacts to these events, next year, 2022, will be the year for the entrepreneur. And I think that we as a program, and I'm sure Rich is going to make mention of this, and I don't want to steal his thunder, we need to set up things for our entrepreneurs. We need to talk about entrepreneurs, and we need to get people to understand that if you can pass the litmus test, and we were laughingly talking about the litmus test. My first litmus test, and Mark, you probably would agree with this, is you can be an entrepreneur. You can convince yourself that you can step off the edge of the wall into the world of entrepreneurism if, in fact, you can, for 8 consecutive weeks, give me all the money that your household earns, and I'll give you back a third of it. You need to learn how to live on that. And how to make ends meet, how to see the, you know, that's kind of a litmus test for an entrepreneur. Not thinking about building a new house, because that's way, way far down the road. But it's the year for the entrepreneur. The table is set. We need to talk the government into giving them special instructions. I've said this so many times, I find myself dizzy. And I say it directly to the Biden administration, you can't be pro-jobs and anti-business at the same time. Doesn't work, never will, never has. So they've got to get pro-jobs, they've got to get pro-business, and they have to start making things work. And America's got to step back and stop being so angry at the successful billionaires, the successful people that we have in this country. They're all of a sudden not very popular. Why? Because they've been successful? Excuse me? If you think they're not paying their share of taxes, and believe me, they have some of the most well-trained tax attorneys in the world. If you think that they're not paying their due taxes, you're A, out of your mind.
Absolutely.
And B, you need to go to your government and say, there's something wrong with the tax code. There's nothing wrong with the ability to go out and make $1 billion in this country. And any one of those billionaires have given back more than they've taken from this country. And I've challenged some of the people that I have very healthy discussions with to tell me, give me one name of one billionaire who doesn't give back all the time, constantly giving back to this country to make it a better place to live. And I've not been given one name yet.
No, and you won't find any, Larkin. We won't find any because in the process of running their business, they have to pay all the taxes, matching taxes, the whole deal. This, what they're saying, that people are making billions and paying nothing, it doesn't make any kind of sense. Any person who's in business knows that there's no way to escape taxes. You have to pay.
And everybody's so tough on Amazon. What are you being tough on Amazon for? They, 55, it's not quite that high, 53% of the business that Amazon does is with small businesses. They're the best thing that ever happened to small business. If you go to anybody to get marketing advice, the first thing they're going to say is, you know, do you have an online presence? A. B, if you don't have an online presence, let's get on Amazon. You'll have an online presence overnight.
Right, right.
You'll be on, and they they don't, they say, listen, we sell this, I'm a book freak and I buy a lot of books, and they tell me this is brand new hardback. Then they give you the audio version of it and the Kindle version of it. You can get one gently used in hardback condition from this, and they don't give you the name of the place. They say from this source. And if you pick that, that bookstore just sold a book. And so get off of my billionaires and leave them alone. Let them do what they do, because America and the world is a better place because of them. I want them to pay their fair share. Oh, shut up. That's the only thing that I want to say when people start
Larkin,
doing that.
Larkin, did you see that clip with Elon Musk talking about how he doesn't pay? He pays more taxes than anybody in the history of the United States, I think, or maybe the world. I think he paid like $1 billion in taxes.
But if he's a billionaire, Henry, he's got to be keeping his money. No, he isn't. Leave him alone.
Right.
Quit picking on him. And for any part of the D.C. political idiots to suggest to me that they're going to tax billionaires to get us out of the position we're in right now, that's the biggest lie that they have ever propagated in Washington, D.C. It's absolutely absurd. If you took all of their money, how many of them are 18? So if you had $18 billion, you couldn't pay the interest on the amount of money that we've borrowed in this tax and spend environment.
Yes, that's
right.
Tell
me that they're not the answer to anything, except please keep on doing what you're doing and taking people to space and discovering and finding new frontiers. And we're going to say that that they're not working on electric cars. They've done more work on electric cars than Washington, D.C. has done talking about it. So it's, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on that tangent.
Well, no, that this is what it is, you know. But the good part of what people are seeing, Larkin, through this pandemic and what we've been talking about for some years is each of us has now the total choice to do what we feel is best for ourselves and for our family. Also, by the way, we have the choice to support American-made or foreign-made. When people tell me this year, because I didn't want to feel like I just bought something foreign and gave it to somebody, I gave them a gift certificate and said, oh, that's the way I wanted to do it this year. I hope you're able to find, you know, what you like, and maybe it'll even be American-made. People are beginning to have a little bit more concern about their future, and that's good. The pandemic really helped us to show. You know, as I'm looking right now at the United States debt clock, America is now in debt $29 trillion and $379 billion. That means that every young person, the person just born one day ago, is in debt for $88,166. That's per citizen. The debt per taxpayer, the people who work, is $232,000. If we had to get out of debt, we'd have to go to every American worker and say, we need $232,000 from you in order to get America out of debt. Now, somebody was arguing with me, and I was joking around with my stuff. And I said, look, let me tell you something. I want to know with the Build Back Better. I'm all for that idea, Build Back Better. But you as an elected official, can you tell me exactly line by line where those dollars are directed? They said, well, they're still working on it. So I said, then it can't be passed. It can't be considered because they're still working on where the line. You don't pass a budget and then decide how it goes. You decide how it will be done and then try to pass it. You know, just throwing something in a huge line item, you know, $600,000 for this and $1 billion for that. But what's the bottom line? What is it going to really buy us? We now have the choice, and I want to support America and American workers, But why can't we do that without the difficulties of all of these elected officials in our country? Many of them, I have to tell you, are supported, Larkin, by foreign countries, foreign companies, foreign countries, foreign companies. And so when you say something like, oh, you should get more businesses in this particular county or that county in Pennsylvania, well, we don't want to upset the apple cart of products already coming into the country. It's just like our good president put out this Buy American Made thing when he first days in office. And I thought that was wonderful. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
The problem is, Larkin, the things that he was demanding that the government buy are all made in China. Let's get those things back in America, made in America, then that type of a piece of legislation, that order, can be honored according to what our president has requested. Otherwise, and we're just spinning our wheels and going nowhere.
And that's not really the problem. It genuinely isn't the problem. The problem is that he's anti-business, and he knows he's anti-business. He's never owned one. He's never worked in one in his life, except when he cut lawns for one of his friends who started a company. It's all gobbledygook. And I want to also supplement something that Mark said. This money that they want to give away, you are not under any circumstances going to bring a family out of poverty by paying for their daycare or childcare or whatever it is that Biden thinks is so necessary for us to do. They actually told me that you can bring 500,000 families out of poverty by paying this child care bill. Are you kidding me? Who in God's name is stupid enough in this country to buy that? And people are buying it lock, stock, and barrel. But listen, I want to get back to it. We can't do this. Every week we talk about stuff that everybody in America should already know. We don't really come up with any kind of remedy except we need to start small businesses. Well, we need to start talking about remedies. We really do. Piece for piece, chunk for chunk. And so I'm going to give you now, and hold your breath, I'm going to give you now my wish list for 2022. That this country, its entrepreneurs, its citizens, its government, its banking segment, gets back to building an America where freedom, opportunity, prosperity, and a civil society flourish. That's my wish.
Wow. And that, Larkin, that's exactly my wish. And that is exactly how I am going to propose all of my commentaries in the year 22. Because, you know, when it was announced recently that 80% of the Christmas decorations sold in the United States of America during the last 10 years, not just during before the pandemic, the last 10 years, 80% of the Christmas decorations sold have been made in China or its affiliate countries. Now, how do we get our people here back making those things? If anybody wants to challenge my thinking on that, I'm going to send you to an internet site. The name of the site is A Christmas Made in China. Just go to A Christmas Made in China, and it will tell you.
I can't read any more of it, Michael. You just did the perfect segue to one Rich Loges.
Dr. Rich Loges, tell us everything. We were wishing Larkin a happy birthday. He says he's 36 this year, and that's wonderful. And he said he's 36. He has a 36-inch waist. And he likes to have 36 shots a week.
Yeah.
Well, I can relate to the 36 shots. That I can relate to.
Only occasionally do I do that consecutively.
Look, 36, it's really not, I mean, if you average it out, it's only five a day, right, Mark? So, breakfast, lunch, snack.
Hey, we're not going to judge.
I mean, there you go. Right. And we're good.
Thank
we're
you,
good
Mark.
To go. And the good morning to everyone. And thank you, Larkin, for setting that up, because I'm going to say this, Michael, not because I'm seeking anyone to pity me, but I've been in business for 13 years. We're going into our 14th year. The last 2 years for our company, and it's not just COVID, it's a variety of factors, but the last 2 years have been more difficult than the prior 11 combined. And that is not hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration. But our company still has a heartbeat, Mark. There's still a pulse. And in the new year, I've had chatted with Larkin a little bit, with Mark, some others who listen to our show. I'm a person, Michael, who's become very disillusioned with politics in America. I think that both parties, and I'm a little hesitant to use this word, but I'm going to use it. I think both parties have been hijacked by a very loud, crazy minority. I really do. I don't think all Democrat voters are bad. I don't think all Republican voters are good. And right now, what lacks in the parties, you could take your pick if one is more important to you. We lack courage, Mark. We lack candor. There's no candor between the parties and the American people. We are living through all of the worst effects of utopia right now. And adults, sensible, intelligent adults, whether they're Republican or Democrat or not registered to a party like I am, I'm not registered to any political party. More and more and more, Larkin, when I talk with even if they're not that like-minded, but they're adults, more and more I hear this disillusionment. And so for coming into the new year, at this time next year, Michael, I might be telling you our company's never been better. I might be telling you that my company didn't survive. But one way or another, Rich will find himself in some business somewhere. Why? Because in order to really, and this is a theme you're going to hear us talk a lot about, Michael, to really make it in business, you have to look yourself in the mirror and you have to say to yourself, you have to ask yourself, and you have to be truly honest. It's so hard to be honest with yourself, right, Mark? Because when you want something so badly, the mind can play tricks on us. You have to look in the mirror and you have to say, am I truly 100% unemployable? If you look in the mirror and say, I am 100% unemployable, you are mentally ready to be your own boss. You are mentally ready to accept that if you don't sell, you don't eat.
Right.
And if you look in the mirror and you say, I'm not quite there yet, Larkin. I'm not quite at the level of unemployable. That's fine. I'd rather you find out now, Mark, than after going into debt for $1 million and realize it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. Well, I've talked to lots of people this year, Mike. They, you know, like we're talking on this show about, and I'm so excited I can't stand it, how much more entrepreneurship we're going to have this year and coming. And I know, and this is not a negative, pessimistic statement, Larkin. It's based on history. I know that 70 to 80% of those businesses that start up this year are not going to exist 12 months from now. They're not going to exist. And I think, Michael, that in talking with everyone, I believe that we've got the goods here to reduce that number, Larkin. I do. 70 to 80% of businesses that start this year will be closed. They will be done. They will either be dead or in bankruptcy, which doesn't mean you're dead if you're in bankruptcy, but you got to fight your way out of it and take it from someone who knows.
business. That's what I'm going through right now. I'm trying to salvage my company that way. So what Larkin's talking about here, I hope everyone is really listening closely. This is going to be the year that we take business ownership to the next level. But you've got to ask yourself in the mirror, am I truly unemployable? And if you say you're not, that's okay. It means you're not ready yet. Nothing wrong with that, Mark. Nothing wrong with it. But for those who say, yes, I am unemployable. Yes, I need to sell to eat. Yes, Rich, I'm not thinking about the day that I can hang out on my yacht sipping lemon drop martinis making residual income. I'm thinking about how am I going to make payroll this Friday. Right, Larkin? Right?
That's right. That's exactly.
So being a business
exactly.
owner.
I'm sorry. Ooh, exactly.
Ooh, is it? It could be so rewarding, Michael. It could be so rewarding, so much. I mean, see, that's something to be proud of, right? You know, I heard people say, I'm proud to be this religion. I'm proud to be that race. Someone's race isn't a skill. Mm-hmm. Your religion is a lifestyle choice. I'm proud to be a vegan. That's a lifestyle choice. That's great you're a vegan. I'm sure those plant-based hamburgers taste wonderful, but that's not a skill. Having a business? A lot of pride, Michael.
Yes.
But you want to know what? Oof, man, is it tough. Woo! Man, is it hard. What people don't... I used to say that there were three occurrences in life. And I'm not trying to compare them, Mark. But I think there are three occurrences. Being a parent, being in war, and burying a child. I'm not comparing being a parent to being in war. It's not that different, but I'm not comparing it. Unless someone's gone through those, Mark, unless you've really gone through one of them, you can't relate. You just can't, right? That doesn't mean you're not capable of it or you're not intelligent enough. You just can't relate because you haven't been through it. I'm going to add a fourth one to that, Larkin, coming into the new year, which is this. Owning your own full-time business. If you ain't done it, you can't know what it's like. And that's our opportunity, Michael, Larkin, Mark, Henry, listeners. That's our opportunity. After this year, Michael, I said, you know what? I can't believe I missed this. We're going to add business owner to being a parent, being in war, burying a child. Again, I'm not trying to say these are identical comparative items, Michael. What I'm saying is that unless you've gone through it, you can't know what it's like.
That's exactly right. And you know, Rich, that is the reason I don't want to see these businesses go down, that I plead so much with people. In all of our broadcasts, 7 days a week, we ask people to go out of their way to support their local businesses because they are really the advertisers on our other programs and in our various organizations. Go out and support your local businesses. The big businesses are not there, and they're not going to help us. They won't help us. They don't help us. You know, it's like someone approached me and attacked me and said to me, well, Michael, for your information, the Chinese Communist government and all the middlemen are making the money, not the Chinese worker, as seems to be indicated. I said, it doesn't matter. American workers are not making the money. American workers don't have an industry to be part of. American workers don't have American-made products in their businesses. And Rich, you're right. We have to change that in the year 22 because we don't have any leadership in government, in the news media. Yes, David Muir does 1 minute every so often, every few days, talking about American-made. A lot of it is very good workmanship. But we need more than a minute a day during Monday through Friday.
You know what? When I go on sales trainings with some of my suppliers, my manufacturers, I know that they've never heard anyone talk like me. And it's not because I'm so smart and I'm an expert and all that. None of that's true. Okay, it's that I get on these calls and I try to keep the F words to a minimum, but sometimes, like if you're quoting Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross, you got to quote it verbatim, right?
Verbatim, yes.
You And I always say, "Oh, cover your ear. The kids are in the room. Get them out of the room. I got something I got to say." And we get into this, and sometimes what I hear, to Larkin's point earlier, you know, there's a lot of, and look, I'm guilty. Everyone falls into this trap sometimes. You know, you get into this situation of comparing yourself, and you see others having success when maybe you're not. Larkin, have you ever met a successful business owner who said, "I got successful by crusading against billionaires paying more taxes"? Well, what was your strategy? Well, my strategy was I was really working hard to make sure that Larry Ellison paid fewer taxes. No, you're not paying attention to Larry Ellison's net worth when you're in a business owner because you're trying to make payroll Friday. You're trying to keep insurance costs down. Right, Mark? You're trying to keep inventory in the store. You're trying to make sure people order that it gets to them as quickly as possible. You're trying to make sure that you're paying is, you know, not that you're evading taxes, but that you're avoiding taxes. There's a difference between evasion and avoidance, right? You're keeping your business afloat, not paying attention to what billionaire. That's punditry world, Michael.
That's
worthless.
Right.
Political punditry is worthless. And again, take it from a guy rich. I'm not apologizing or regretting it, but I'm saying I lived the punditry world for a very long time. I devoted a lot of money, and I devoted a lot of time. And you know what I got out of it? As my Italian relatives would once say, un got. So with that being said, Happy New Year to everybody. Let's make 22 the best years that we've had.
Well, I want to say a special thank you to Larkin Conlin, to Mark Andel, to Rich Loges, to Henry Chaplinsky, all the guests that we've had on our broadcast. Next year has to be our year to rise up from this pandemic, but in the process, give examples and give ideas to people how they can be entrepreneurs. I agree 100% with that. How they can help to be part of a great business and make that business grow. Yes, some businesses will have a tragic ending because the holiday shopping season is coming, but let's not let that happen. As always, I urge every one of you to go out and support your local businesses because they employ over 60 million Americans as we speak. And that's really what it's all about. And if you'd like to see all the reasons why things have to change, go to the site that I mentioned, A Christmas Made in China. Just look at that report and you'll understand what it's all about. Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Henry Chaplinsky, and all of our listeners, may God bless you and God bless America as we begin our trek to the year 2022. Dovizenia, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday, the first broadcast of 2022, I wish you and yours the very best.
Happy birthday, Larkin. Thanks, I'm everyone. Sending you some Yingling beer. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, everybody.